best decision possible. I'm not here to try to make anybody go to heaven. It's your choice. I'm going to try to paint the picture so that you will never be able to say, you know, if Pastor would have just painted the picture of how great heaven is and showed us the pathos of missing out, then I might have made a better decision. So I do. I get excited about the potential of you walking streets of gold. Now, quite honestly, I use that metaphor, but I don't really get turned on about the idea of streets of gold, because in a celestial body, you really won't even need streets. But we use that metaphor because it has to do with the value of what our life is. So I want to move into the lesson today, and how many of you do know God's building in the family? Being born again is the whole idea, is that He wants to take the human factor that has turned negative and give us a new life that is all positive. And so being born again has become a colloquial statement in the religious system, but truly being born of the Spirit is a whole new dimension of life, of wisdoms and truths that empower you beyond anything. I've always enjoyed the high-powered equipment. I like bulldozers. I like excavators. I like airplanes. I like all of those things that get above and get it done. So it's a sort of a natural thing for me to want to have a power source that can overcome the deficiencies of my natural man. And I can't thank Him enough for the education of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the key to all of life. So we're going to move into this lesson. If they'll turn these lights off up here, Brother Drain, thank you. And again, how happy we are to have each of you. So I want to be a part of that family God's built. The Bible said, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold or magnificence, the express wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose. I wish somebody would say the eternal purpose. I want us to really sort of key in on that thing, on the eternal purpose. Just one breath away from a break. That's life. And we're not here to deal with just having an emotional experience, even though it gets emotional, to have an exhilarating life. But life, you remember the old boy that years ago, they buried him in his convertible and they put all of his holdings financially in dollars and filled up the back seat, filled up the front seat. And a friend that had another friend of the deceased, they walked by the grave and looked in, and that one looked at them and said, boy, that's living. could look at death but see the money instead of death and say that's life. You see, you may stop breathing in this physical element, but you're not going to stop living. And that's why I'm here today. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He came to get you out of death. He's not here to leave you with weakness. Pathos. Help struggling against the odds. He's here to give you truth. Empowered by the Spirit that will destroy and defeat every lying spirit that tells you you're no good, can I wish you'd stand up and just say hallelujah. It's not hard for her to get up and do that with scars all over her body where the hell thought it had her in a corner, was going to kill her, and in that motel room being shot at, she started crying out the name of Jesus, and God delivered her, brought her back home, filled her with His Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at life. Love you. Anybody ever been delivered from lying, cheating, all of the other stuff that was working death in your members of your body? Ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be a general praise every day of our life if you've been freed from the claws and the viciousness of death. His eternal purpose in Jesus Christ was not to make you a church member, but to make you a member of the body of Christ, the family of God, that's going to spend forever in a world called glory. Whom, I wish somebody say, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You think any of those football players ever get hurt out there? Think it hurts their feelings when somebody boos them? Think any of those baseball players when they hit a foul and the other side of the fence claps because they couldn't hit it out of the park? They become immune to their enemy. Their decision to be what they are wanting to be and the failure of last game doesn't stop them from fighting again tomorrow. They have a passion for the game because there is a lot of glory in winning a game, because people are sold on ball, but mainly winners. And God's got a place. The Bible said there is one that runs the race, and you're the only one that can run that race. Nobody can run it for you. And to that one who runs the race is a prize like you have never seen. You've had those days when you just met. It may be cold outside, but your wife just gave you a kiss like you hadn't had in a month. I desire, Paul is writing this, that you faint not at my tribulations. Whatever I have to go through to get that ball, whatever I have to go through to learn how to get it, whatever I have to go through to learn how to preach, I am so getting you to heaven. But more than just heaven, I am sold on. Where he lives in that metaphor. yourself to dig out so that you can get victory, so you can help these young people. My tribulations may be tough as a husband, as a brother, or a family member, or a local citizen. You may have to go through some hell, but I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful when you get a few more yards on the field and you can turn around, Brother Jason, and look at some of your friends that are struggling and say, you know what? I've got a God that delivered me from that very thing. I've got a truth that works in me. It freed me from my history. It freed me to walk into my future. It gave me a strength. It gave me a destiny. It gave me a power source that I cannot describe. I'm talking about a Jesus that is not just the author of some building called the church. He's an author of life where you gain power, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and victory over all of the enemy. And he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish somebody would say the whole family. I wish you'd look around and see some of your family members you hadn't even ever waved at. Let's give them a little wave. This is real life. I never did want to really go to the ball game and just sit still. I wanted something to get involved with. I didn't want them just walking out there and swinging the bat innocent, as if nothing could be done. Just going through the motion and throwing a ball. Just going through the motion. They dance at fast music everywhere. I'm not dancing because the music's right. I'm dancing because he set me free. I'm dancing because he said that's what pleases me. If you want to please me, praise me with a loud sounding voice. Get it loud and let me know. Let their neighbors know. My blood set you free. My wisdom gave you a future. My knowledge gave you a path to walk on. My glory is surrounding you. I have dozens of angels at your disposal. That he would grant you, Eric. He would grant it to you according to the riches of his kingdom. I can't give you anything but the information for you to make a good decision. But I can tell you where the door is. I can tell you what's behind the door. I can tell you the reserve energies he has. I can tell you about his angels, but you got to, sir, at some point develop a faith enough that says, I'm leaving my history and I'm moving into my future, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Your feelings don't have to ever get hurt because people don't understand who you are and where you're going and what kind of energy level you got. I don't quit drinking Dr. Pepper because people don't like them. And I'm not going to quit shouting because people don't like shouters. I am going to do what he said. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of victory. Shout unto the Lord for forgiveness. In the beginning, God, family, male, female, created he them. He starts the book talking about a relationship. He created them male and female. And he said, that's good. God had two children. And if any mother and daddy's here today that's had a child go astray, let me just tell you, God didn't hide it. He had two. If anybody knew what to talk about at the breakfast table, God did. If anybody had the understanding of every path on this earth, God knew. If anybody had power to distribute, God did. And he had two kids, and both of them backslid. Because God gives every one of us the choice. He will not imprison you on the best of ideas. Not going to force you. Not going to try to make you live in peace, joy, and righteousness. You can be as delirious on drugs and junk as you want to, but I advise you to look at the results. You can do your own thing. God let his kids, he shared the mornings with them and talked to them at what we would call breakfast time. And the Bible said he showed back up in the evenings and talked to them in the evening. If any father knew what to talk about, how to say it, how to distribute information, God did. But he didn't give up on his backslidden kids. And he still got some that are real wayward. But every day he gets up, parades himself across the sky with a new day. And that's why the Bible said study to show yourselves approved. Because on the bad, the backslidden, he shines the sun. On their backyard that's dry and barren, he gives rain. To that people that are so wayward from him, take his name in vain, abuse him, curse him, make fun of him, laugh at him. He blesses the good and the bad. Don't ever get the idea that just because you got a blessing from God, he's approved the way you live in. I'm telling you, the way you'll know it is you'll be satisfied with yourself. I am the Lord's. I am a child of God. And you're still going to have hell break loose in your life. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're going to walk with a sense of victory and confidence. And you're going to go with some scars in your flesh, but in your spirit, great peace have they who love the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them or stop them or cause them to quit. I'm going to be with you. You're going to know it in the jailhouse, in the fiery furnace, in the lion's den. I am the Lord and I change not. God-like beings have a choice. All creation was forced to reproduce after its kind. Apple trees, always, consistently. Apple tree produces apples, and sinners produce sin. Find themselves living off of a special diet called the Word of Life. And that's why we don't stop growing. That's why we don't quit studying. That's why we don't quit obeying. That's why we go to church all the time. Yeah, some of you have already heard this, but for those of you didn't, you need to, because it got me. You know, I got a lot of flesh. Got more now than I used to have. Back when we rode those tubes. And back in our day, you know, when we was young, you remember that? You go back that. 1974, preached a revival here, and Brother Ronnie had a little bass boat, wasn't it? Sort of. Went out there and got a little tube, and we got sore with a rise, and that, you know, just enough of my flesh stuck down in that water. I couldn't hardly sit down for 2 or 3 days because those little waves tenderized. I do know what it is to tenderize meat. This big God, this great God, has always caused us to have a choice to do, to be whatever we wanted to be. And he's here today to give you another chance to grab more, to move forward. I tell people, I said, look, it doesn't make really any difference how slow you go. The snail finally got on the ark. He may have been the last of the Mohicans, but he finally made it. Humans each have an ability to be like God and to do what they want. You can curse him because he made you, but you're a little late. You've already got it. You to get a hold of a steering wheel that will guide it. The only steering wheel I know that will guide your life to success is the Spirit that's hooked up to truth. Adam and Eve chose the most subtle beast of the earth to follow instead of following their heavenly Father. They followed the one that used to live in glory. You study that in your Bible. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 refers all the way back to the very first of the book. So if you don't think the Old Testament's important, try to convince Paul. He said, let me tell you something. I fear as Adam and Eve lost their future, that the church would lose its future. So don't let anybody tell you you can't lose your future. Because we see it in the perfect garden with a perfect God and a perfect life. And people sold out to the inferior. Now once you're saved, you're always going to be saved. But until you get to heaven, you're not saved. You're saved from a lot of things. When you study that Bible and you see all the things you're saved from, the word saved saves you from fear. It saves you from distraction. It saves you from lies. It saves you from hypocrisy. I'm talking about scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. You're being saved day by day. And the Bible said we're renewed day by day. Try going a month without eating and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll shrivel up. You can't even hardly get to the front door with somebody hardly carrying. The Father of all life and the healer of all that is broken. Your family may have been fractured or fried, but today you have hope. We get to looking at how smart of a wife or husband we want. We get to looking at how much money they do or don't have. We get to looking how cool that the world thinks they are or are not. I just needed a wife, whether her name's Donna or Sue. I see the whirly bird of action in your brain. I can assure you there was days she's wondered if she needed Bob. I know that. You don't read what I do. Some of you just need a wife. Some of you just need a husband. You don't have to have the one God decides to take. If we turn our back on God, if he don't give us what we want, how we want it, when we want it. The Bible said he knows what I need. We get so focused. based on what we want, and we become our own God, thinking we can save ourselves. I'm here to tell you, God is going to supply all of your need according to His riches, not yours. He knows some other man, some other lady, some other situation. He knows what you have need of even before you ask Him. If He can't take care of that, don't worry about heaven or hell. They're not real either. My world, He's been a real God. And God wants everybody in this building. I don't care what's happened in your marriage, what's happened in your family, what has happened in your history. I'm telling you, the healer's in the house today. He's going to give you a future. He's going to give you a glory. He's going to give you a victory. I'm here to tell you, I didn't select anybody here. God spoke to my heart about every bit of this stuff. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been hurt, but I'm telling you, the healer's in the house. You've been disillusioned. I'm telling you, the vision giver's in the house. I'm telling you, you have been forsaken. I'm telling you, the companion of companions is in this house today. The glory of glories waits on you. You don't have to come to the front. I point at this because we have an altar, but you've got a place where you're sitting while I'm preaching. You can have an altar service that says, God, I'm turning away from the lies of hell and the lies of my flesh, and I'm going to turn to thus saith the word of the Lord. Been given the wonderful opportunity to be healed. But not every day He's calling you. Come. Come. And every day He calls you and you respond, you get a little closer to the fulfillment that is going to be yours forever. Come unto me. Is there anybody laboring today? Come unto me, all you that labor. How many of you's got a load? And all of you that have a load, you're laboring with life. You're laboring with this. You're laboring with that. He said, if you'll come unto me and put your burdens on me, can help you carry what you can't carry on your own. Can we take a little small praise break right now and turn all of your cares over to Him? Turn all of your past over to Him. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, is not going to give you a stone when you ask for bread. Make fun of me and say, all you apostolics are just brainwashed. Did anybody ever tell you that? Am I the only one that bothered, or has anybody else been bothered? Bothered me. So I got to looking around and talking to Jesus about it. And then He just kept leading me back to the Word, and finally one day I run across the scripture that covered it. Now ye are washed. Now you're washed by the washing of the water by the Word. Well, where does the Word work? First of all, the Word works in your brain, and it washes away doubts, and it washes away fears. It washes away all the depression. It washes away it all. And all of a sudden I woke up, Brother Joey, and it hit me. We are brainwashed. And so then I started asking them, what y'all been washing your brain with? Western music. Little bitty tear let me down. Spoil my act as a clown. Had it made up in my mind not to frown, but a little bit. What have you been washing your brain with that you like so much that the washing of the water by the word can't take care of? And not only that, leave you clean and holy and righteous and godly and absolutely filled with the fullness of the glory of every truth. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of the world lying to me and telling me politics is going to fix it and that money's going to fix it and all of this is going to fix it. I'll tell you what's going to fix it. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all of our sins. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us and gives us a holy appetite. God's been working diligently to restore us. I wish you'd ask your neighbor, has he been working on you? Or does he have permission yet? I can tell you no doctor's taking my foot off till he gets my permission. And for him to get permission to take my foot off, he's going to have to prove to me he knows what he's talking about. And that he has a knowledge of how to do it. I've read too many stories of they marked the wrong leg. I got the wrong one. I'm so sorry. It's going to be too late when you pass through the grave, for you'd realize you listened to a liar. You listened to false doctrine. You want to read your Bible every day so you make sure that man's preaching to you. I could absolutely tell you some jokes and entertain you. I could tell you some cool stuff. I could go through a lot of soliloquies. I could do a lot of things that would attract a crowd from out yonder, because it don't take much to attract a crowd nowadays. We got some kids following us. I don't want one more kid. I got a note about 3 days, 2 days ago. Said midnight. One of my friends texted me. Said, "You up?" Just so happened I'd woke up for a minute. So I called him back and said, "Yes, I'm up." "Well, I just got this notation on Facebook that something's going on in a family you and I know. And man, I have no clue what's going on, but they said there won't be any sleep. There won't be any rest in our house tonight." So I waited till the morning. I called a friend early the next morning. I said, "Man, I got a text last night, and I got a voicemail." And I said, I had to call you. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "A 14-year-old kid hung himself in the back bedroom of their house. Broke into tears." I want us to hug every kid that walks through the doors of this church. If you cared all about what's going on in America, it's time to give them some hope. There's a lot of love left. There's a lot of comfort left. You grab those kids and you hug them and you tell them you are valuable to our economy. They may be snotty-nosed and they may not know anything about the blood and they may not quote one scripture, but they need to know there's hope in America. There's a church left. That's the body, the family of God, and the family of God cares, because the Spirit of the Father lives in us, and you can't say you got His Spirit unless you care about those kids. I'm not going to play games with you. This thing's about over. I mean, that's what I can see. And you can say, "Well, Pastor, you're nearly 100. That's why it's over." Could have put the history together. I'd have showed you Brother Jack and I was talking about it in the coffee shop. When they came over and founded Jamestown in Virginia a few years ago, we had our general conference there. I'm not a history buff, but I in history. What has happened that we've taken God out of the schools? What's happened that we've taken God out of the government? And now we try to come out. The Bible used to rest in every room that was a courtroom in America. And they went by the Bible. They used to pray before they made decisions. Now they look at the budget and they find out if we can financially afford it. Don't tell me the God of money isn't taking over your kids. And so now when kids don't have money, they kill themselves. I'm here to tell you, we're going to raise up under the power of the blood, and we're going to raise up under some good decisions. We're going to make some decisions that's going to affect Lamar County and eventually Washington, D.C. Have a power source or a father that would overcome all the deficits in life. Also, that we would have an energy, a energy level to create missing elements for needs. You don't need to talk in tongues every day. There's sometimes you just need a little hope. Now, we'll tell you that the Bible said, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession with the Father for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. If you move into the superlative, which is talking in tongues, and you start praying in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit itself makes intercession with the very source of all life and all energy levels. Don't come here with just being Pentecostal and talking in tongues. There's a whole bunch of people talking in tongues that don't have the Spirit of the cross. Talking in tongues doesn't mean a hoot if the Spirit of the Father is not part of it. Listen to your brain, you're going to find new thoughts starting to happen.
there's one way to glory, and that's through the blood of Jesus. That's through the power of the resurrected Christ, and that's the Holy Ghost in you. You keep telling Cohen that. Every day he won't get it.